Hello, hello. Welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. You added a little extra hello there, Tim.
I did. You know, I wanted to spice it up because you know what, Matt? I'm feeling spicy.
You're feeling spicy? Are you feeling X-rated?
I hope not.
Are you feeling excellent?
Yes.
Are you feeling extravagant?
Yes.
Are you feeling extra?
You mean like the gum? Do you remember extra gum?
Oh my God. I was thinking what the kids say nowadays, Tim.
Like, but hey, guess what? You ain't a kid.
Oh, how dare you?
It's the truth.
You know what? Speaking of someone who's not going to be a kid for much longer, Tim has a birthday coming up in like...
April 19th.
Oh yeah. And so, and we just actually put together a little plan for Tim because it's his 45th. We're going to Vegas.
Woo!
Are you excited, Tim?
No. I'm kidding. Of course. I love Vegas because it's where I do all X-rated things.
You do. You're excellent. Extra. Give me another X word. Extroverted.
X-ray?
You're like,
did
xylophone?
We already say that?
No, because I don't know how that describes anyone.
Like, you know,
hey,
like
you're
when
an
I
X-ray.
When I go to the doctor's office, I'm like, hey, can I get an X-ray?
And you're like,
Oh my gosh. Okay. So as I was driving here, I heard on the radio, there's a show about things that get stuck in your body. And this one, I mean, apparently...
Like people that stick things up their butt?
Right. And like, obviously, that's like, people get dildos stuck up their butt. Anyway.
Oh, that's a good story. Wait, where's the X-ray?
I don't know, but I think the show's called Stuck.
Oh my
God.
Is this on Bravo?
I don't know. Maybe. It's like, after Housewives, we got a new episode of Stuck.
Or more like, after Survivor. Or after 60 Minutes.
Stuck. No, I've done zero research. I'm literally just talking about
it. But apparently there was an ad for it.
I mean, I don't even know if it was an ad. I think it was just people talking about Stuck.
I've got to think, with all the fetishes out there and people sticking things up holes.
Well, I mean, I think it's more
stuck.
Like kids like sticking Legos up their nose and their ears.
Oof, God, getting that stuck in your nose.
Could you imagine?
None getting stuck up butts. You're a stuck up butt.
I'm sure lots of things get stuck up butts.
I've heard some really gross stories, which I'm not even going to put on here about like... I've heard, like, ugh, I don't even want to think about,
yeah,
like,
I know.
Stuff.
Great. That's my fault. I brought it there.
Good one, Tim.
X-ray.
I was trying to talk
X-ray.
About your birthday.
I know. I'll be officially middle-aged. I'll be 45.
Is that? I mean, I guess that if the average length of life was 90, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, well, we have a lot
no,
to talk
but
about,
we,
but this movie, do we want to live that long?
Oh my God, that's a good segue into that. I feel like we should just jump right in, cut the small talk.
Right. I mean, well, what's going on in your world? I'm already bored.
You know, I didn't have to say anything. You set yourself up, you said the joke, and you laughed at the joke.
That's right.
You literally are the entire audience.
A grand slam.
No, you know what that's called? What? Pathetic.
Pathetic?
I was just thinking, no, that was really funny. You were literally your entire comedy show. You were like the audience, the joke, and the joke
teller.
Right,
so what I'm trying to say is
get out, Matt.
Get the F out.
What's going on in my world? I don't even know. Other than like doing this podcast, working, and like, I'm excited about Vegas. Seriously.
So, well, as someone who experienced 5 drinks last night, I'm still recovering today.
Well, then a weekend in Vegas is going to probably kill you.
It might. It really might.
We're doing a girls trip, which means because Jacob can't make it, so I'm going to be there just with Tim and the girls.
Well,
going with a couple friends.
It's two other single gentlemen.
Single gentlemen. Yes,
and
that's
they're
true.
Very gentle.
They are gentle men.
Right.
But I'm sure we're going to have tons of stories after that. That for another
day. I hope
day.
There's no stories. I hope there's no drama.
I hope that it's like The Hangover and you get stuck on the roof of a hotel
but
and sunburned.
These are the things I'm going to do. Like whenever we eat at a restaurant, I'll be like, this is where I'm sitting and like do stuff like that.
I want you to be like, hey, it's my birthday trip, so I'm going to call it because that won't be annoying at all. Be like, hey, can I go first because it's my birthday trip? Hey, can I pick this because it's my birthday trip? You should do
that. I'm just going to never let you guys forget for 3 days.
I think you should. Yeah, I think for the whole month. Don't you love people that celebrate
actually,
their birthday.
I don't like those people. And you know, I might be guilty of it as I'm getting older because it's not like I don't have kids, I'm not married, so this is the one time I can throw
but
it.
But you're
to the
always
wind.
You're really humble about your birthday. Like
oh,
I
thanks.
Was the one who came up with the idea actually. You weren't like, "Hey guys, what are we doing for my birthday?" It was more like you wanted to do something and I know you love Vegas.
You used me.
I know. No, I mean I wanted to go to Vegas and I have a lot of friends' birthdays around this time and I know that you love it especially cuz your parents love it too,
my
right?
My parents are huge Vegas people and they live in Ohio, so it's a to-do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I am glad that we're going. We'll have tons of stories, I'm sure, Maybe we can do a happy horror time live from Vegas.
Maybe we'll just go live via Instagram.
Maybe we'll just move to Vegas.
Yeah, F this place.
Okay, for everyone who is wondering what movie we're talking about, you probably didn't see the title of this episode, but we are actually talking about two movies that have similar titles, but the first one is the one everyone is talking about, Tim. Everyone.
I will say this. This episode will be full of S-E- X.
There is a lot of sex, and I'm going to be talking all sorts of body parts in this episode, Tim. So prepare yourself.
Elbows,
knees, what do you please? We're going to be talking everything. No, the first movie, X, not the letter. Actually, the letter.
Directed by T.I. West.
It's actually Ty, I found out, because I actually thought it was T.I. West.
I was like, oh, Matt's making it funny.
I'm not that funny. No, Ty West, who did one of the segments of VHS. He did The Innkeepers. He did House of the Devil.
I actually saw that three times in the theater.
I loved House of the Devil, and I loved VHS, the original one.
It's the same girl that we just watched in last week's episode, Jocelyn Donahue.
Oh, she's in VHS?
She was in...
House of the Devil, yes.
No, off season.
But she was in House of the Devil.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Woo, woo.
We got there.
We're back. Okay, X. So X has been getting all sorts of hype because, like,
and rightfully so.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, all we really knew about this movie before going into it, and I know this is you actually. All I knew. Tim saw this a while ago because
I saw a test screening in November, and you know, it still seemed fresh.
Speaking of fresh, oh my God,
last week. It was very fresh to me still, but I still say everything that shocked me last time shocked me again.
I've got to say, I didn't know a ton about this movie other than that it's like in the 70s and people are going to film a porn movie, and then they stay at the house of these like old people and then something happens. That's really all I know. But then I was hearing all the hype, and you know me, I'm like, fuck the hype. I'm going to judge it for myself. Well, we went and we saw, and whoa, did we like this movie?
I think we did, and I think our friends did too.
Yes, we went with a group of friends, and I think everyone was very, very pleased. So we are going to break it down for you because I'm sure by now, by the time this episode,
I want to tell them what they really want to know.
How many dicks do you see in the movie?
Well, no, I was going to say I finished my popcorn, my M&M's, and my drink before the movie even started. Go on.
I was close.
Right. Practically the same.
So the way this movie opens, it feels very Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Very. And you know the irony is, it's not filmed in Texas, it's filmed in New Zealand.
I know, but it takes place in Texas, so they did a good effing
job. They really
did.
I really thought it was Texas.
It's like 1979 Texas, and I remember that because 1979 is the year I was born. Oh,
was it really?
November 1979.
I was born in 77, the year Star Wars came out, so I'm much cooler.
Oh, wait, that's Superman. Wait, what is Star Wars? It goes...
Oh, wait, I know this.
Oh, my God.
I know Star Wars.
Wait. Oh, my God.
We're clearly not geeky enough.
Oh, no, that's E.T. Oh, my God, Tim, give me just the beginning.
I wish I knew.
Star Wars. Oh, my God. Everyone
I'm
in the
thinking
world
so
hates
hard.
Us right now.
Whatever.
Okay, I can't remember Star Wars, but I can give you Halloween.
I give you Friday 13th.
I give you Nightmare on Elm Street.
Can you do a Swamp Thing?
Yeah, it goes.
Can you do...
Okay, back to X. So it's 1979 Texas, and there's like a group of people that are filming or going somewhere to film a porn film. And we got to just like sum up the characters because they're all amazing.
They're all really good. Did he write it too?
Yes, wrote and directed.
So
but
he made us care about these people.
Yes. So there's the main girl who likes to give herself pep talks in the mirror.
Maxine.
Yes, Maxine. And she's played by Mia Goth. And she is someone you may not recognize, although she's been in a lot of stuff.
And she also dated Shia LaBeouf.
She was married to Shia LaBeouf. And that went LaBeouf because they went somewhere else.
Right.
So she's like the main girl. And she is like, I guess, an up-and-coming porn star.
She wants to be a star.
Yes, her older boyfriend is
Wayne,
and you may recognize he's played by Martin Henderson, who was, if you remember the original Ring, her hot boyfriend.
Yeah, Naomi Watts was one lucky lady.
Yes, he has these like amazing blue eyes, which he still has.
I actually thought he had a nice body.
He looks great in this movie, and he plays her much older boyfriend
He was a producer.
He was the producing
Bummer
the movie.
He didn't do the porn.
Yeah, so then there there are the two main actors in the porn. There's my favorite, Brittany Snow. Brittany Snow plays Bobby Lynn, and she has this like
she plays it like she's a 1950s Marilyn Monroe. Like
she has the Marilyn Monroe, and she like you can tell she's been in a ton of porn. She loves it, like no apologies.
Yeah, she's just, like, let's get to the barn. Like I'm she's horny.
Like, I know everything is like I'm gonna be a star. I'm already a star. I'm in porn. Yes. And her new boyfriend, Jackson, who's played by the rapper Kid Cudi, and but his real name is Scott Mescudi, and he plays Jackson, and I like that his last name is Hole.
I did not catch that.
I got it. Jackson Hole and Bobby Lynn. But she is like, or Jackson is her like big buff boyfriend who's going to be the big male porn star in
the apparently
movie.
He's got a big dong.
A majorly big dong, but we'll get to that.
Well, so we'll then, get to
whoa, okay, Tim lost it. So then there's the geeky director slash cameraman.
RJ,
and he's played by Owen Campbell.
I've never seen him before.
I hadn't seen him, but I'm sure
I'm sure we've seen him in something.
I'm sure we have. And then his girlfriend, who's like the quiet girl blowing sound.
They call her a church mouse throughout.
And she is played by the very big, at this point, star Jenna Ortega, who was just in the big Scream movie. Yeah, she played Tara.
Yes, and she...
I mean, this girl is like...
Hot.
Well, she's hot, but she's on her way. I mean, she's been in... I remembered her in the second season of the show You, and she was good in that, but then
did she play real super young in that?
Yes, she played like a 13-14 year old.
She's now like, it's crazy how like she's just getting everything.
She's now like in everything, and she's gonna be like the new Scream queen. She's like the new Nev Campbell. I mean, she's in Scream, she's in this, and she's just a really great actress. But she plays this like, they call her kind of prudish. She's just going around to help her right. Her boyfriend obviously thinks he's gonna
wants to
do
make
better
an
than
avant-garde.
Porn. Yes, he's like, they're just like, it's a porn, but he wants to make an amazing.
And she's
anyway.
Holding the boom.
So these are the boom.
The boom.
So
things that make you go.
They're all in a van going to this like desolate area. So it feels very Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right?
So apparently he set up a deal with the old man.
Yes. He sets up a deal to almost like before there was Airbnb to use like this extra guest house and farm area that this really old man's
Which,
property.
By the way, it has many rooms. It's not horrible. And it has running water.
And a farm with farm animals. I mean, think about what you could do with that. Am I right? Porn. Oh, God. So the person who owns the house is really old man, and it starts where it's really awkward because he comes out with a shotgun, and you think, like, is this guy crazy? What's happening
He's
here?
He's crazy to have a shotgun.
But I will say this. The shot of the house from the inside and you see out the door looks so much like the original Texas
yes,
Chainsaw
the way they
Massacre.
Filmed, I mean, I don't know if they were paying homage or if they were just, it's
I think,
just a coincidence.
I think. Definitely. This guy must know. I mean, yeah. If you're a horror director, you have to know Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But I loved the homage because it's also felt that grittiness. They really captured like that 70s, like raw grittiness of it.
Sleaze. And to add the porn aspect to it adds an extra layer of sleaze.
Yes. And we get to that because they filmed the first scene and there's a really funny scene of Brittany Snow's character, Bobby Lynn and Jackson just having sex. And, you know, they don't shy away from showing. I've never seen Brittany Snow's boobs.
Right. Me neither. And I actually did not think I would be seeing
But
them.
You know what I would like to say? They were pitch perfect. Oh, you see what I did there?
What did you do?
Okay. See, Brittany Snow was in pitch perfect.
Okay.
So I just related it to her
boobs. Oh, thank you.
No, she, I was shocked that she showed her boobs just because she's been in so much and hadn't. But like, I also was like, yeah, do it. Like,
yeah, you're only young and beautiful once.
Also, she is young and beautiful, and it's also like you can't be in a movie about filming a porn and like not do nudity.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a 180 for her, and I think she really was hilarious.
She was really funny.
I mean,
this,
it's not a comedy, but she I don't want to say she
brings the sass.
She played it sassy. She didn't overdo it.
But what's funny is that the main girl, Maxine, Mia Goth, like during this, like there's a part where she goes out to swim in this lake and
Ooh,
there's this beautiful,
scene.
Beautiful, amazing shot that it's almost like from overhead, really far up. I guess it'd be like a drone shot, maybe.
Yeah, it was really cool.
You
it almost
her,
looked like a scene from like Lake Placid.
Yeah, you see her floating in the water and you see this crocodile coming after her, and you like are thinking, wait, is this a crocodile movie? Is a crocodile going to come after her? And she gets out right before the crocodile like shows
right.
up.
Right. But when she gets naked, you think it has remnants?
Yeah.
Of like all like it's like Friday 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like everything is very, very executed in a way that you're familiar with what you're watching.
Yes, it's that in the middle of nowhere, someone's watching. Well, someone is watching her. There's so the really old man's wife is this really old, decrepit woman. And when I say old, like I'm not talking just an old person. I'm talking like you can see in their skin and their hair and their face. Right. Like it looks like they're just
falling apart.
Like falling apart because there's elderly people that do not look like this, but this is like they haven't taken care of themselves.
Right. They're kind of backwoodsy.
Yes. And like, so the woman is just watching her. Like this old, old woman has this obsession with Maxine. And actually, she comes out and invites her inside the house to have lemonade.
Which is an interesting scene. They just have lemonade. It's very innocent.
And it is really funny because they keep flipping back and forth between a scene in the porn they're filming where Brittany Snow's offering the guy Jackson lemonade. And so they're going back and forth between like the porn scene they're shooting and then her and this old woman. And everything gets really weird because the old woman's showing her pictures of her young.
She goes, I used to be young.
And then she like goes and she starts to try to like touch her. Like right. she molests her.
I hate this word. I really hate this word, but she's like horny.
Well, the older woman, you can tell she's obviously like obsessed with Mia Goth and youth and like missing that she doesn't look like these like young, nubile porn stars. And you know, Mia Goth gets really like wigs out and just like gets out of there, and she's like,
and
you know, like this is creepy. Like I was basically felt up by an old woman.
And it's weird because this whole movie takes place in just 24 hours.
Yeah. And so then they go back and like they've done, and there's a weird scene where you don't see this a lot in movies where the sex scene is done and Brittany Snow is wiping cum off of her back.
I was shocked by that because I was like, I guess if they're going to shoot a porn, like everything makes sense, but it's just...
You don't see it in mainstream movies.
You don't see it in mainstream movies.
If you haven't seen this, I'm not steering you wrong. There's not like... You don't like see... There's no cum shot in this movie,
right.
But
it's
you just
aftermath.
See... It's the aftermath, and she's wiping off, and she's literally like, as she's wiping off, she's like talking with Jenna Ortega's like prudish character about
right.
it.
Church mouse.
Exactly. They keep calling her church mouse, but like... then Mia Goth then comes back and films her sex scene with Jackson
in the barn. And this is actually kind of funny because like off to the side, you see the grandma from the main house is just staring and watching.
The old woman is literally watching. You're like, is she going to like get off? Is she getting off to this or is she? But you can tell she has this obsession with Maxine, Mia Goth. And like, then she's so jealous of all these young people because she doesn't have her youth, but she's watching her. And the whole way the movie's filmed, it's creepy. Even
right,
like you're like, scared.
Right. I was, it's like, I wasn't like I want to leave the theater scared, but I mean, it's like, it's not like Last House on the Left scared. It's just kind of, it builds the
suspense
atmosphere.
Yeah. It's atmospheric.
It's very
like,
atmospheric
like off season. Well, and it's
was what everything off season wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah. But wasn't, but it's just, it has the grittiness. And like you said, reminiscent of like little bits of Friday the 13th, because there's like shots through like the wilderness and the lake,
but,
and then Texas Chainsaw Massacre with the house, and it just feels very desolate and scary.
But did you think, because obviously the old lady was a young person in a lot of prosthetics, so like did that make you think like at some point that old lady is suddenly going to look young or something?
I didn't know until after the movie that Mia Goth plays both the young porn star Maxine and the old woman Pearl wearing prosthetics. I didn't know that until after, so I wasn't thinking
you
what you
think
thought.
That, but
I
you
knew it was someone
right,
wearing
right.
prosthetics because
okay.
they hear when you're watching this, these old people look unlike any old people I've seen. I mean, they are like rotting.
They are, yeah, they look like death.
It's like they're rotting. So I knew that was prosthetics, but I didn't know it was the same actress. That's pretty awesome.
Right. And I thought that because they chose to go that route, it would mean something.
Well, that we'll get to because there's a prequel planned. And so I think that's why they did it. But anyway, so then it's getting to the night, and there's this one weird scene where they're all kind of relaxing, and then Brittany Snow starts singing Landslide by, right.
And
by
they split
Fleetwood
screen
Mac.
Like the movie Carrie. And I mean, I guess it progresses the story.
Well, she's singing Landslide, and then they're showing shots of, what were they showing? Also, like the old woman in her
house.
Yeah,
like she was like combing her hair.
It just
was
weird. It was very weird for me. That was the one scene in this movie where I was like, I don't know if we needed, like, I get it, Brittany Snow sings. We all saw her in Pitch Perfect, but
right.
like.
But then after, when all that singing was done, they actually had a very interesting, like, kind of commentary on porn, just kind of saying, like, you know.
Oh, well, because Jenna Ortega's asking, like, how can you guys, like, sleep with other people right. when you have boyfriends?
Right. And she said it's not a moral. What did she say? Like, it's not like.
Well, she's talking about, she's like, it's just sex. Like, this is, you can, you, like, you know, love is something like you choose, you do, but sex, it's just like, you know, you're getting off. It's just a job. Like, who cares? And also, they're talking about, like, how. You can't choose who you're attracted to, so why keep yourself from right. having sex with them?
Right. So what I'm trying to tell you right now is I would like to do porn.
To porn. Well, okay. Yes. You're about 20 years past
what?
The age.
I'm
but
sure
like,
there's 45-year-old man
yeah, it's
porn.
Called elderly porn.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes,
got
yes.
it, got it. Mm-hmm. No.
It's okay. I'm just crying over
I
here.
I will say I didn't quite agree with their explanation because for me, here we're going to get deep. Yes, we all feel attracted to multiple people, but what makes a commitment special is that you don't pursue that attraction with other people
oh,
but your
that's,
partner.
That's been my problem all along. Like, whoever I'm attracted to, I just kiss.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, oh my God, because so many people are attracted to me.
Right. Well, I'm always like, when I walk out of the house, off. Like, I have to, like, fight my way to my car.
I notice you're like, there's like sunglasses on a yes. hat because it's like, there's only so much attraction mm-hmm. that you can deal mm-hmm. with. Yeah.
So Church Mouse says, I'd like to do the porn.
Well, what's funny is that after judging these porn stars and then saying she doesn't quite agree with them, then she says, you know what? I'd like to do a scene. And her boyfriend, the
like,
director,
no.
is like, absolutely not. And she's like, why not? And they're all like, yeah, do it. And it's weird because she then does a scene, but Jenna Ortega does not show anything. She's not
well,
at that level.
I think she's 20.
She's like 20. She's in, but she has a scene with Jackson, who apparently just fucks every girl in the movie. Yeah.
Well, he got the big dong.
Yeah. Oh, yes. There's, yeah. So we get to so for this whole first part of the movie, they're just setting all this up. Then we get to the nighttime when all
this
the horror starts.
It really does.
So her boyfriend, the director, RJ, is not happy that his girlfriend did a porn scene, and he's going to just, like, leave, and he wants to get out
so
of there.
So he takes, like, a shower, and then he grabs the keys, and he goes
did you
up
love
to
him crying in the shower?
You know what's interesting is, like, the audience had zero response. There was no laughing, no chuckling, no
I nothing. Thought it was great because I guess I'm so not to I guess not to specify like, oh, genders only do this, but I'm not used to seeing many scenes where a male is in the shower crying. So I loved that it was the guy was so affected
well,
by the girlfriend.
Why they did it.
Yeah. Having sex with someone else that he's crying in the shower. I thought that was a good turn of events.
So he goes up there, he gets in the van and he's cranking the music. And I'm like, why is he cranking the music?
And it's playing Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah. Which I thought was an interesting choice, but like,
I loved it because as you know, Don't Fear the
he
Reaper.
Knows the old people are up there.
Well, Don't Fear the Reaper was featured in the original Halloween.
Right.
So I love that because it's a 70s movie or 79.
It's also in Scream, right?
Don't Fear the Reaper. Yes, a new version of it. And so great song to have in a horror movie. But as he's trying to drive away, standing right in front of the van.
Old lady blocking the road.
The old woman looks terrifying. She's just standing there.
Her hand is, there's something behind her back.
Yes, and
clearly.
You know that she's holding something. But he goes up to her and he thinks he's like, are you okay? Like he doesn't know, does she have dementia? Like, and he goes and she.
And she gets a case of the horns and wants to get a little closer.
She starts to try to like kiss him and like make a pass him. And he's like, oh, no. No, and then
she takes, I want to say a screwdriver, a knife.
I think it's just a knife, a kitchen
knife. Oh, yeah,
knife.
It's like a kitchen knife. And she jabs it in his neck. He falls down. But she climbs on top of him.
But as a viewer, it was shocking because the scene is drawn out in a good way.
And
like,
plus, she hasn't killed anyone.
It's taking a while for, you know, something's going to happen, but you don't. And then just really quickly, she jabs in his neck. And like, I jumped. It was shocking for me.
It is jarring. And then he flops down. Then she straddles him and just keeps doing it. Over and over
in
his
neck.
And
literally to the point of his neck almost being decapitated.
Yeah, like she's basically decapitating him. And then she stands up and like there's now blood on the lights of the car. So now she's dancing in a red light.
And let me just say, for if you don't Gross. Like gore, like this was probably the goriest, hardest scene to watch from a gore perspective.
Oh, really?
Because
I enjoyed it.
They show her stabbing him over and over and over. It is pretty effing gory.
Yeah, I mean... It was gross.
It was rough. Well, you know, Lorraine, Jenna Ortega, wakes up, realizes her boyfriend's gone, and gets Wayne, Martin Henderson, to help her look for him.
And he's wearing nothing but tiny underwear. And yeah. I was like, I enjoyed this whole scene.
It was great because this is the guy. He still looks great. He's in great shape. And he's walking around in tighty whities. And the biggest
mistake... For some
reason,
they split up.
That's what I was just going to say. Oh, why did they split up? She goes to the house. He goes to the barn.
She runs into the old man, and he's like, he goes, what are you doing out here? And she's like, I'm looking for my boyfriend.
And he says, like, oh, well, I'll help you go into the cellar and get a light.
Oh, yeah. He goes, go all the way down to the cellar.
And you could even tell she's like, okay. And he's like, I just can't make it. She goes down there. He locks her in the cellar. And then when she turns on a light, she sees there is a naked male body, like, strung up in chains, fully naked, and just been sitting there like a rotting body.
She gives her famous scream from Scream.
You could tell, like, the scream. You could hear the same sort of scream from Scream. And she just screams her head off. She's locked in the basement. Meanwhile,
he's walking around in the barn and barefoot. I don't know why he's walking barefoot. And so there's like a nail sticking out, like a huge nail.
And everyone felt that when he steps on the nail, it's like
disgusting.
You can feel it.
I was like, oh. So then he like falls down. He's trying to, he pulls the nail out. And then like he sees like a light through a little hole in the barn from the outside. So what does he do?
And well, I thought they did a scene really well because he's looking through these holes through the barn and then something goes in front of the hole and then out of nowhere, he just gets jabbed through the eye with a pitchfork.
And then they cut back to the girl in the...
The cellar,
and she finds an axe. She goes upstairs. She starts whacking the door to, like, get out.
Oh, yeah. Get out.
Get out.
By Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, they do a good job of, like, he gets stabbed in the eye with the pitchfork. Then they switch to this other scene for a few minutes. And then they come back and it gets taken out
that
of his eye.
That got a big jump.
Like, 2 to 3 minutes later, it's just, it's like you forgot about it for a second. And then they go back to write the pitchfork being taken out.
And then now that the old lady is, like, covered in everyone's blood, she goes and just takes a pitchfork and just kind of puts a little hay over him and just calls a day and walks away.
It is hilarious. Like,
it's
the way,
like,
she's like, oh, no one will find him.
She's,
I know.
Like, hidden.
Well, so now they're, now the only people that are left, like, Brittany Snow and Jack, or, Bobby Lynn and Jackson wake up and I think they hear either a scream or they just don't know what's going on.
Right. So he goes outside and then he's buck naked. He opens the door.
Yeah. And he just, like, flashing the shit. And they show this shadow of what obviously is prosthetic, but a shadow of a humongous dong.
I think it was CGI.
A humongous dong.
It's like a shadow or something.
It's like hanging down to his knees almost. And it's like to the point that the theater was laughing because, like, so much, like just inhumanely big.
Right. So yeah. The guy's like holding a shotgun and he's like, hey, do you want me to put on my skivvies and help you? Because he was in the war.
It's the old man. The old man was looking for his wife still. Right. And he's pretending he's just looking for his wife. And he goes with Jackson through the wilderness. Really, he's just leading him out there because Jackson finds a car. Like someone else's car that was pushed into
the
lake. And so meaning these people have been killing people and like getting rid of them.
Texas Chainsaw
for a while. Yeah. And then Jackson is like, we got to get out of here or something
and
like.
And then the old man blows him away.
Like with a shotgun, just blows him away.
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
Either time I saw it.
No. And, but the best part is that, well, there's a couple things going on. The older woman then sneaks into the house.
Hops in bed with the main girl, Maxine.
Maxine, but
she's
first,
like out cold.
Maxine is asleep. She's the old woman strips so she's fully nude and then gets in bed and like spoons her.
Like she's like caressing her.
Covered
in blood.
And at first, were you confused as to, I was like, is she a lesbian or is she just
she's hot for all young people.
I think yes, but I also was just like, maybe she's so like jealous that she wants to be her.
Right. Like
but
she
like,
sees them having sex and looking beautiful. She's like, I want a piece of that.
She is just like stroking her. And then Maxine like turns over and opens her eyes and sees her and starts screaming.
And rightfully so.
I mean, I would be terrified.
Oh
and,
my
like,
God.
Bobby Lynn runs in and like the old woman kind of runs out and then Bobby Lynn runs after her, and they go to the lake and the old woman's just standing there, and Brittany Snow is like trying to take care of her.
This is the best scene in the movie.
She's just like, oh, she's like, are you
okay?
She goes,
oh, my Nana walks off sometimes here, put this blanket around you. And she goes, you whore.
Well, and she's like, what? And she slaps Brittany Snow, and Brittany Snow's like, well,
get out of my way.
Yeah. And then she pushes Brittany Snow in the lake, and out of nowhere, Brittany Snow's like, why did you do that? I can't believe it. And then the crocodile just jumps up and like eats her.
It's so good. I mean, not so good that someone's getting eaten, but the scene is so effective.
Oh my God, it was great, because you knew that they wouldn't have shown the crocodile at the beginning if it wasn't going
to
come into
play.
They
weren't going to have the main girl get eaten in the first 20 minutes of the movie.
But I think the best part is right after she gets eaten, the old woman says, bitch.
Yeah, she goes, bitch.
The way she says it is just great. And like, but here's where it gets, if you think it's creepy so far, it gets even creepier.
Right. So then the main girl is stuck underneath the bed while the old people are having a conversation.
Well, what happens is the woman, Pearl, the old woman, this whole time she's wanted her old husband to have sex with her because she like is horny, I guess. And he's like, I can't, my heart. And she finally gets him to try it. But here's what you have to see their sex scene.
Their prosthetic bodies.
Like you see the guy on top of her. You see his butt as he's like thrusting her. And they're like old.
Too much.
Decrepit people having sex. And they're like, ow.
Cut to Maxine stuck underneath the bed while this is all going on.
And she looks like she wants to vomit,
right, as the whole audience did.
And you're thinking, okay, the old woman finally got some, is she gonna lay off? Nope,
she's not done.
No. So Maxine escapes, and she goes, and she's able to actually let Jenna Ortega's character out of the cellar,
and she's like screaming like so loud you want her to be quiet, because the old people obviously know she's up at the house.
Yeah.
And she runs out the front door, and what happens, Matt?
Right as she's running out the front door, boom, she gets shot dead.
Blown away.
Like, I was wondering if Jenna Ortega was going to make it through this because, you know, she's a survivor.
I wanted her to, but then she was so annoying.
I wanted her to also, but she was so loud and she just wasn't thinking, and she runs and boom. So we're down to just Maxine and the old couple. And
they're walking in the house,
and Maxine's hiding as they're trying to like.
Well, she also, before she's hiding, she goes into the van, and there's a gun.
Had a gun. Yeah, she took a gun, so she has a gun and is hiding inside. They're trying to do with Jenna Ortega's body, but
so Jenny Ortega's body like twitches for like a second, and he goes, "Oh!" And so the old man has a heart attack.
Old man has a heart attack and dies. It's so sad because at least he got his last sexual experience.
Right.
But
Bravo.
Apparently that heart was pretty not doing well, because she literally twitches and he has a heart attack and dies.
So then Maxine's like, this is my chance to get out because I can take an old woman.
Yeah. So she comes up to her with the gun and is like, you know, and she's like holding it and is like yelling at her. And then she tries to shoot her, and there's no bullets.
So
in
then
the
old lady grabs the gun.
The shotgun.
Which is huge. It's probably bigger than her. She shoots it and flies backward, almost like a cartoon.
It was hilarious because she misses Mia Goth, and the recoiling of the shotgun, because shotguns are big. And here's the thing, anyone shooting a shotgun, if you don't know how to hold it, it would push you back. But this old decrepit woman, it like throws her through the door, and the whole audience laughed because it was pretty funny, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's such a tough balance to get that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like to get a laugh at that moment.
You mean like a comedy and horror?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Like, but so, they succeeded.
And then the old woman is like on the ground in the front saying, help me, my hip. And it, like Maxine's really going to help her. So Maxine gets out. She starts the car and she backs up and backs over the old woman's head, and it just explodes.
Twice. And then she takes time to do some a line of cocaine off her hand.
She's been doing coke the whole movie, but she also does a lot of like, she loves like looking at herself in the mirror and saying like, you deserve the life you're meant to be.
Right.
Well, there's
you're
this one
star.
One weird little twist at the end, because throughout this movie, the old couple, they keep showing this like evangelical Christian
Black
TV show where like this preacher's yelling stuff. And then there's a weird connection because the preacher says, and my daughter left us at a young age for a life of sin. And you see that the daughter is Maxine.
Right.
So I don't know what that really means
I kind of liked that connection because it makes the story just a bit deeper, knowing that Maxine escaped a life of parents that were like rah-rah religion, and probably that's why she went such the extreme the other way.
And went into porn. And it made her stronger, obviously, because she's the only survivor.
So basically, this movie tells you, do cocaine, do porn.
And then you'll be able to outsmart old people.
Yes.
There it is. I think we solved the movie.
Yeah. No, it has a good message.
So the best thing, so Maxine survives, gets away, and like the everybody else is dead, including the old people.
So the cops show up and they're looking at like just a ridiculous amount of bodies.
Yeah.
And then the very last guy, he's like, "Hey, I found this camera." And he goes, "What's on it?" And then what'd he say?
I don't remember what did
he's
he
like,
say.
He goes, "One fucked up horror film."
Yeah,
or something
one
like
hucked up, one hucked up, one hucked up, one fucked up one, horror film. It's like a wink, wink to the audience.
Yeah, like
yeah.
What you just saw.
Well, and the thing is that then the credits roll and you have to stay till the end of the credits.
Which
because,
a lot of people did.
Well, because I think people have been talking about
people
this.
Are
so
talking.
There is a quick little teaser for Ty West has already written and I think filmed parts of a prequel to this. Basically, Pearl, the old woman
who got
old,
her head ran over.
Yes. When she, it's a prequel of what her life was like when she was young, because apparently she's been a crazy murderer ever since then. But this prequel is going to be about her when she was young and killing people. And they show a bunch of scenes. But the cool part is they show it's Mia Goth as Pearl. And again, at that point, I hadn't known that she was also playing the old woman. So I was like, oh, they're getting the same actress to play her. That's weird. But it's really cool that she got to play the heroine in this film and the villain. And she gets to play the young version of the villain in the next film.
Yes.
So all in all, like, I was so pleased by this.
Me too.
And here's why. And I'm sure that there's different reasons why we liked it. But for me, it was like, even though we're comparing it to all these movies, it was so unique. I've never seen a horror movie about, like, people filming a porn that had old people as the killers and the motive was because they missed their youth and also throw a crocodile in it and old people sex. There were just so many unexpected things.
Yeah, old people sex is the one thing that I don't know if I need to see on a 35mm screen.
I think you should.
Actually, you're right.
It's
going to
be your new
that.
Fetish.
Yes.
I just thought it was everything I love in horror with suspense and like slasher elements, but done in a completely different way.
Right. There was a lot of thinking that went into this. I mean, like it could have just been like a bare bones, like these are the, but it's weird again to have old people as the killers because they can't run fast. They have no strength. So
yes.
It's the way the movie worked is like all these young people are like, oh my gosh, we'll be around these old people.
Yes, because it was, I was telling Tim, is the element of surprise. The only thing that made these old people successful killers is a couple things. One, surprising, like, you know, when they least expect it, jab them in the throat with a knife or
cheap shots.
A shotgun and blow them away. Like, because yeah, you're not going to be afraid of these old people like running after you. You are out, like, you know, strengthening you.
Yeah,
but
they can't strangle them.
But, like, exactly. But they can, when you least expect it, like, every time the people are like, oh, what can we help you with, you old lady?
They and strike. Then
she'd, yeah, it's like, yeah, so they're like a weird snake that just strikes. And they made the old people so creepy and decrepit
just,
looking.
Oh, they look like crep keepers. And I will say, the prosthetics, I mean, obviously they can't get old people of this scary level to do the things.
Because here's the thing, because elderly people don't look this scary.
Right,
like
right,
this
right.
is exaggerated. Like
right.
people that have let their bodies rot. Like this is not what elderly bodies people look
rot.
Like. Well, it's true, but like yeah. this is not what most elderly people look like. And they know that. That's why they had young people playing it with prosthetics
yeah, it
so they
good.
Could exaggerate it. But it worked. And again, even though I wasn't necessarily afraid of the killers, I was afraid of when they would strike.
Right. And because the they were preying on the people being so trusting, and they
exactly.
all were.
And they were, and that's why they all got killed. But the thing is that
so
it just worked.
Another takeaway from the film is don't trust old people.
Exactly. Okay, so you should do porn and cocaine and that gets you to outsmart
people. If you see a old person, push them down, because they'll kill you.
And if there's a crocodile in a lake, push the old person in the lake.
Right.
I mean, I think we got it.
Yeah, I got the message. Good job,
Ty West would be proud.
We got the messages. Thank you.
Wow. So anyway, I can't tell you how excited I am for this prequel. I'm sure it'll be great when it comes out in, who knows, a year, 2 years. I feel like it'll be soon.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much it made this weekend. I'm sure it did well.
One thing I'll say, and then we can move on to the next one, is that one thing I didn't like in the style of the teaser for this prequel is that
it looks like a musical.
It did. So what made X so effective is it's gritty and raw.
They played
and dark.
It straight.
And this one, like the colors and everything were so vibrant and bright in this teaser for the new one.
It looked I was like a that Muppet movie.
Yes, it didn't look like Mary Poppins. Like it didn't look like it would look as scary. So I hope they don't, the whole movie isn't so bright and fun
right,
looking.
Right, right. I don't want a bright and fun movie.
Yes, I want a scary and
if I wanted that, I'd watch The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we cannot recommend X enough.
Yeah, see it in the theater. See some old people doing it on the big screen.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of sex. There's a lot of nudity, but you know what? It is called X, so deal with it.
Right. I mean, you ain't watching a Lifetime Christmas movie. Am I right?
Exactly. And speaking of sex and nudity, let's move on to our next movie.
We can't escape it.
It can't. It's too funny. We purposely picked these two, but this one is called Exploited.
So there's still an X in the title.
Yes. I mean, but it's too funny because perfect title for this movie.
It's on Prime right now. You can watch it for $3.99.
Yes, exactly. So this takes place in today's day and age, and it is very I would say I wouldn't call it an LGBTQ thriller, but it definitely has many like LGBTQ elements to the story.
Right. My friend Frecklefart that's his name.
You have to explain that.
Okay. On Instagram, someone goes by Frecklefart and he recommended it. But the company that
what
made
is
it,
his real name?
I actually don't know.
So you know him by is Frecklefart?
Yep.
That's beautiful.
Well, you know, one day we'll talk about his real name.
Maybe his name is like Frank.
It's all like Frank, but he's like, you know, Frecklefart's working.
I think it works. It's memorable. he told you about this movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he told me about this movie. And when I saw, it's not Paramount, it's not New Line, it's like Gravita Adventure.
Yeah.
Which whenever I see that name, I'm like, ugh.
Hit or miss, yeah. So let's just say for us, being the horny bastards we are, the movie starts in a great way because it's a guy walking out in a towel. And he drops the towel and you see his ass. There it is.
Right.
Literally, first 5 seconds.
That's not all.
Well, yes. He is it's a webcam guy. His name is Caleb. And
it's like an OnlyFans.
Yes. And he's doing a webcam thing with a girl, though.
Right.
And, you know, they're doing stuff. He ends up having to, like, get up and show his dick. And you see his dick. So it's like literally first 5 minutes, full frontal male nudity.
Which
sold.
But truth be told, I'm not a huge fan of male frontal nudity. I prefer...
I'm sorry, who are you?
I know. I mean, I appreciate it for the shock factor, but I'm not like, ooh.
Really? Would you prefer full frontal female nudity?
No. I'd like to see a male butt.
You can see that on like PG movies, basically.
PG-13.
Now. I want full frontal.
I know. It's about time, you ex.
Well, I'm glad that they just jumped right in. And as he's doing this like webcam broadcast, someone in a mask like comes in and basically like wrestles him down. And it looks like he's like punching him and then it cuts and you don't know what happens. And so something with this webcam, you don't know if he was killed or what happened.
So it's on a hard drive.
Yes. Well, it switches to the main character,
which is a freshman in college.
Yes. And his name is Brian. And he is this, you know, blonde, pretty boy looking guy.
A very interesting look because like I wanted to avoid talking about looks, but we have to talk about his looks. He's got like this blonde hair and he could be 30 or he could be 18. Does that make sense to you?
No. Okay. So you're going to have to explain.
Well, I mean, I just feel like he could play an 18-year-old or a 30-year-old.
I thought he looked really young.
In some scenes, because he has got, like, the body of, like, an older man.
Because it was, like, he had this perfectly sculpted body.
Right, right. And I don't think at that age we can get...
It did not look like an adolescent body.
That's what
it
I was
looked
trying
like,
to say.
Yeah. Yes. His older brother, Jacob, is played by Will Peltz, who was actually in the movie Unfriended. He was the hot guy in Unfriended who ended up shooting himself. But he plays the older brother, and he's dropping his younger brother out of school, and he's going in the dorms, and right away, like, he meets his... There's just a lot of man candy in this movie.
He walks in, and his straight roommate is kissing a girl.
Jeremy, yeah. It's with his girlfriend. I'm just looking at the characters, because there's a lot of characters.
Remember, what was that show on MTV called Undressed?
Yes, it does feel like that.
It's an Undressed episode with a killer.
Yes, it really does feel like that. But when we get to the main plot, Brian, the young guy, like, he finds his hard drive, and on the hard drive in a deleted folder is all the webcam broadcasts of the guy who you saw in the opening scene.
Yes, and it's like really messed up. It's like, because I guess if you do that kind of stuff, like, you could just tell the person what you want to do. Like, he's like, oh, act like a baby, act like a clown.
Yeah, he goes through a bunch of the things, and it's all fetish stuff. Like, literally, they're making it like no one just, like, jerks off on these things. It has to be dressed up as a baby and like and pretend to cry or
make balloon animals.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was a little, it was supposed to be exaggerated, but it was like none of the videos were just like normal. Like they were all like major fetish.
It is.
Unless this guy's a total fetish artist, which he could have been.
I mean, I don't know much about fetishes. I just know that none of the things I saw in this movie, I was not remotely turned on. I mean,
I've never met anyone who does any of the things.
Well,
in that,
I mean, sometimes when I see someone make a balloon animal, I'm like,
you're
ooh.
Like, oh my God, can you pretend to jerk off with it? Because yes. That's what makes me really turned on. Well, he's seeing all these and he kind of just thinks it's kind of hot, but like he is gets a little obsessed with this webcam guy and because he has all these webcam broadcasts and he basically finds the video of the guy looking like he's being like beat up or killed and he doesn't know what happened, you know?
So he's determined to find out who it is.
Exactly. And there's all these, it's hard to really talk about this plot to be honest.
There's so much, okay, let's try to do it real quick because.
So his roommate is closeted because his roommate at a party hits on his older brother.
Because his brother's a drug dealer.
And then there's this weird gay sex scene between Brian, the young guy, and he's envisioning it to be the webcam guy.
But it's really his roommate.
When he wakes up the next morning, it's his roommate next to him. He's like, dude, don't tell anybody. This never happened.
Right.
You know?
I also want to say this movie was directed by Anna Faris's boyfriend in the
Scary Movie.
It was directed
by John Abrahams, who's an actual a straight actor who, yes, he you'll remember him because
I would love to know why he directed this movie.
Well, he was the boyfriend in the original Scary Movie. He was also in House of Wax and he was even the younger brother in Meet the Parents. Like he's in a lot of stuff, but I mean, here's the thing. Like, I think he knew that there's...
This is really gay-driven.
Well, there's a lot of LGBTQ elements in this. And here's the thing. Like, maybe he probably wanted to appeal to a gay audience, which that's great. Like,
no, it's
what
totally
I will
cool.
say about this movie is that it wasn't all gay characters, but I like that they explored all these, like, fluid sexual types
right.
of things. Because there's girls in this movie, and there's guys that are into the girls and stuff. There's tons of people in this, and everybody's horny.
Everyone's horny, and... There's other things like, I totally lost my train of thought.
Well, his older brother, I will say this, there's certain parts of this, characters in this movie I really liked. Like, the main guy, Brian's older brother, Jacob, I really liked him because he's totally like a dude bro, like drug dealing guy, but he's so supportive of the brother. And I think, I don't know why I get so like pleased just to see a straight, supportive, like
right, a gay,
person.
A gay ally.
But like, he's just so ally. Like, doesn't matter. He's like, you can be in the girls, but like, he just is so cool with everything,
there's
which
I liked.
There's
also like a subplot for, I guess, like... We're all trying to figure out who the killer is of the webcam guy.
Yeah, and they're trying to find out what happened to the webcam guy. And everybody, like, is
Everyone's a suspect.
Everybody is receiving messages from a person in the weird, like almost leather daddy costume of
Which
the killer.
Which reminds me of the outfit from The People Under the Stairs or,
yes.
like, Pulp Fiction.
Yes, the gimp.
Yes.
It does. But there's, I can't explain this plot because it goes in so many different directions. And to be honest, the first two thirds of the movie, not a lot happens.
No, you know, it's like, remember the show 15 on Nickelodeon?
Yes.
There's so many characters and not much happens. And so it's like.
Yes. And so you're like, wait, who, like everyone is being hunted. And then like the closeted roommate's girlfriend also like is flirting with this like dorky other guy. And like, there's so many characters. And then there's a teacher they bring in.
Played by Leah Pipes, who you might remember from House on Sorority Row from 2009.
Just Sorority Row.
Oh, is that?
The original was called
83
House on
Sorority Row. 2009 Sorority Row.
Exactly.
So Leah Pipes, who played Jessica in the Sorority Row, she now plays Dr. Walker, which I knew was her, but I couldn't pinpoint.
But, and she's like, you're like, why is she in this? Like, there's so many different
she's
things.
She's one of the webcam.
She's having, yes, she was the girl on the webcam with the guy when you thought he died. But anyway, so much stuff's going on. They're introducing so many characters that and no murder's happening. So you're like, what's going on?
Right. So like, you don't really know who to care about. I guess you're supposed to care about the main blonde.
Then there's like the friend of his roommate's girlfriend who taped her roommate having sex with the roommate.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
And anyway, people are, like, the killer is hacking into webcams, posting stuff. All this random stuff's happening, but no one's getting killed.
Right. No. And so the one, when it's coming to the conclusion, like the three leads, like the two girls and the blonde guy.
Well, before we get to that, you find out before the big climactic scene that the webcam guy is actually alive because there's a wrestling match between him and the roommate. And then there's this random weird subplot where the closeted roommate admits that he was raped by the webcam guy and he's been dealing with that. And I'm like, wait, what? Now we're bringing something really serious into this.
It was so serious. And I was like, you're putting this storyline in this movie?
And I turned to Tim. I was like, well, if the webcam guy's not dead, so literally we've watched over an hour and there's been, of a horror movie, there's been no murder.
Right. So then like this girl looks through a peephole to see someone knocking on the door. And it's the leather daddy. I'm calling him a leather daddy.
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, leather daddy.
Leather
fine,
daddy. Yeah. Like all wrapped up in bondage?
Yeah, just like leather. Yeah, he's just the costume.
So
but
she gets her eye shocked, and then like she gets tied up, and so the two friends need to go to this huge house to help her.
There's just so, I mean, I can't even remember the names of the characters, but like the main guy and the closeted roommate and the girlfriend, and they go to the house and they find out the house is like the teacher's house. And
Leah Pipes from the sorority.
Yeah, room. And then like the teacher,
she gets shot, right?
Well, what happens is like the guy in the costume comes up, stabs the closeted guy. And then you think that the teacher is the killer, but then the young guy shoots the teacher, and then the webcam guy comes out and you think he's the killer, so they shoot him, and you think, oh, okay, it was the webcam guy and the teacher working together, but it doesn't quite make sense.
No, it doesn't gel.
And then it like switches to a year later. The closeted guy
and the main blonde guy are now a couple.
Yes, because he's now out of the closet, totally accepted and gayer than gay. And
yay, he's like, yay, gay.
Yes, he's like, they're a couple, they're living together, whatever. But and then, his girlfriend is now with the dorky guy that she was flirting with earlier.
With glasses, and here comes the big old twist.
Big twist, yep.
So he goes to take a shower because this movie loves to like just show everyone's hot bodies.
Yeah, especially males. It's a lot of male nudity.
Very much so. So she knows his laptop's open and she opens it and he tapped into everyone's webcams and cell phones.
Well, basically he was the killer.
Yeah, like, last year he was doing all this.
And when I say killer, like remember no one died at the beginning, but he was working with, he did though, the friend gets blown away and there's a few deaths.
Like
it's not even worth keeping track.
No,
seriously.
Here's the problem. What was his goal? What was his end game? Just to mess with the hot blonde guy's life?
I think he wanted to mess. He liked messing with as many people's lives as possible and exploiting, hence the title.
Right.
People.
I mean, like he liked to put sex tapes out there.
Yes, he was posting stuff online. He was hacking into webcams, dressing up as,
you know,
this
what he
thing.
Was doing, Matt?
What?
Exploiting them.
I just did that joke, though.
You
cannot.
Did?
I literally just did that. You can't say that. And
but
then,
you didn't say it like the way I said it.
You can't be that proud of yourself after I
you
just
know what?
Said that.
I'm gonna pretend you didn't and be proud of myself.
Okay, let's pretend. Do it again. Go.
Okay.
Go.
Hey, Matt, guess what?
What?
He was exploiting him.
Oh, my God. That's genius. 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 No, I just want to apologize to our listeners that we didn't describe that plot that well, but it's really, for lack of better words, like befuddled.
So befuddled. It's such a clusterfest of thoughts and ideas. And I don't think it's like the director's fault. I think the writer.
Because you like John Abrams.
I do.
No, I mean, this is what I'll say
it's
all
a lot
about
of
this
good
movie.
Ideas, but
we were entertained. This was not something
it
that
looked good.
We
the score's amazing.
This was not a movie that like put us to sleep, and this was not a movie that we wanted to turn off. We were entertained the whole time. Also, selfishly, and being gay men, we were very much into all the hot, you know, naked men. There's a lot of men, there's a lot of hot stuff, and there's a lot of gay elements. So I applaud them for tackling stuff you don't usually do, for having it be like a porn or a porn cam thing for the LGBTQ elements. The plot was
LGBTQ
just all
is
over
more than
the
porn element.
Well, no.
I know.
LGBTQ elements, but then they took it to a soft
right,
porn
right,
level.
Right.
I applaud them for tackling elements that aren't in most movies. What I will say, though, was the plot was all over the place. It felt like there were a lot of separate scenes that were just put together to make a movie.
Like, it was almost like they were setting it up for a long TV series and introducing a lot of characters, yes, only to like have the movie end after an hour and 20 minutes.
And yes, I 100% agree with that. The other thing I will say is that also, if you're doing like a slasher movie, like have some murders throughout.
Yeah.
Literally no one died until the very end scene. Everything else was just like, ooh, a webcam, or oh, oops, someone saw someone having sex, or ooh,
someone
like,
is having sex.
Yeah, like, oh, ooh, someone thought someone was killed. So it was weird.
Lots
just,
of red herrings.
Yes.
Like everyone was
it
like,
should have been called red herring, because the whole movie, like, yeah, you red feel flags. Like, yeah, like everything was just took you in a different direction.
And
but
the,
again,
sometimes I even thought, I was like, is it the main guy?
I don't mean to, but I don't. Look, if I thought this movie was crap, I would say, you know me, but I didn't think it
potential.
Was.
Potential. It just needed to have maybe like half the cast gone. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I would
just
have got rid of a
many.
Couple people. I would have interspersed a few murders that happened while people were trying to figure out what was going on.
We'll
but
do the
kept
sequel.
Everyone, yeah, but kept the elements in it. I mean, look, I feel like I had seen some reviews on IMDb, and a lot of people were trashing this film. A lot of people were saying they also really liked it. There was no one like in the middle. I actually feel like I'm somewhat in the middle about this.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's here's the thing. The running time's in only an hour and 20 minutes. I love that.
I know,
that.
You always love that.
I'm like, I love a short movie.
I know. But that's the thing is, that's why it's like, I'm not going to, it's hard for me to not be on the fence about this one, because even though it was so befuddled, by the way, let's just keep saying that word.
I like just, it. I'm so going to say fun. Butter and bread. Butter bread.
So random.
Butterball.
So
that's
befuddled.
A turkey. It's a turkey.
It was just so all over the place. But at the same time, it did keep our interest, partly because there were many, you know, very yeah. hot male nude guys yeah. in it, but also partly because...
Would you
because
like it if there was no male nudity?
I was just going to say yes, because the other part that kept me guessing is because I literally was wondering what the fuck is going on for
yeah.
most of
it's
it.
It's not like I was saying like, ooh, who's the killer?
It
I'm
was like,
keep
is
thinking,
there a killer?
I'm,
who died?
I'm
what's
watching
going on?
The movie like, ooh, is there a story?
It's tough because it's like after watching X, which truly I think is going to be one of those movies that people remember for decades.
Yeah.
Like I really do feel like it was sort of
do
groundbreaking.
Do you think people will remember Exploitive for decades?
Maybe the like a the
month?
Full frontal nudity in it. Right. That's about it. I think I just needed some work. And like, again...
You
as
better
men,
work.
If we're the type of people they were trying to target with this and we didn't love it, that's a problem.
I
you
mean,
know?
I don't know if they were targeting. I don't know if they were targeting 45-year-olds like myself. I'm sure the audience is like 23-year-old gay males.
Yeah, but I think even them would want like a story that made more sense.
That's absolutely
right?
true. Like, I'm sure 23-year-olds would trash this movie.
And I feel bad, but they would probably be really brutal. But the thing is that, again, if I thought it was trash, I would say it, but I really didn't because it
no,
did
I definitely
keep
don't
us
think,
interested.
I definitely don't think it's trash. I like... It was still a form of storytelling. It just, there was too much story.
Too much story, too many characters, and not enough horror elements. Like,
right.
there was really nothing that scared me. And again, there wasn't any murder or anything that made it horror till the very end. And, like,
not enough.
It did really feel like an episode of MTV's Undressed. And for people who know that reference, you're probably
you're
in our
old.
Age group.
Just
but
kidding.
You're so right. What I will say, Tim, I got to give you a compliment. You
Thank
come up
you.
With the most random, but really on point references.
Matt, I'm going to give you a compliment too.
What?
I love your shirt.
That's all?
That's it.
Nothing about how I do the podcast.
Oh, you're,
right?
and you know
You're crap.
No.
I don't need a compliment, but thank you.
I'm wearing, I'll think of one. It will take me days.
Oh my God. I'm wearing a shirt that says, what's your favorite scary movie?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
it.
What's that from. What's
do
that
you
from?
Like my shirt?
Oh yeah. Tim's wearing a Texas Chainsaw Massacre shirt. It says, sun's out, guts out.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Anyway, so all in all, you have to go see X in the theaters. It is 100% worth the admission fee. Exploited, is it worth the $4.99 or whatever, Tim? Maybe just to see the penis.
Yeah. If you because you can't find it in one online.
I feel like it's one of those like kind of mindless movies where like you can kind of keep it
on. You know
on
what? It's,
and...
it's a pretty movie. Like,
yeah, well,
it doesn't,
pretty
I like that it has pretty people. It, like, there ain't no uglies in the bunch.
I would love to see this movie, like, that same plot, but just done a little differently.
And
like,
with Ben Affleck.
I think it could, and with Ben Affleck.
Because, you know,
be,
he's open to showing his dong. He showed it in Gone Girl.
For, like, at least a third of a millisecond of a
you
second.
You know what? He can go further and exploitive.
He's exploited, get it?
Yeah.
It is really awesome that the movies we did were X and exploited. There's a lot of X-ness in
and,
it.
And, you know, there is a movie called X-Ray. And I like that one, too.
You and your fucking X-ray.
Is.
Oh, no, I believe you. But
there is, Matthew.
I know, wow, someone's angry. Anyway, we're going to leave on that because Tim is so angry at me. I need an adult.
Let's fight.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for listening.
Bye, have a great evening or afternoon or morning.
Or anytime.
Anytime.
Because anytime can be, what, Tim?
Happy whore time.
Oh, that's our outro, but we'll do it again for you.
Yeah.
Happy whore time.
Uncut Gems. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Whore Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced and edited by Jacob Randall, and we're now supported by Spreaker Prime.
We release episodes every Sunday and switch off between reviewing new horror movies and interviewing horror stars and insiders from iconic films.
You can stream all of our episodes directly from our website, which is happyhorrortime.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And remember, our reviews do contain spoilers, which is why we try and let listeners know the movies that we're going to review in advance on our social media pages.
And speaking of social media, make sure to follow our pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Happy Horror Time. We even started putting some of our interviews up on the YouTube. You can find us by searching for Happy Whore Time.
If you'd like to support the podcast, please sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/happyhorrortime. That's Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Patrons get access to our growing library of monthly bonus episodes.
It's huge!
Which means hours and hours of more Happy Horror Time excitement! Our bonus episodes usually involve us discussing horror films that fall under like a fun theme or a popular franchise. Trust me, you're going to love them.
And if you'd like to contact us, send an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We love hearing from our listeners.
I'm Matt Emmert.
And I'm Tim Murdoch.
And we hope you have a happy horror time.